Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Forever Dog.
Armie Hammer, press one. If the movie you want to see is...
I
want to break your ribs and cook them, starring Armie Hammer, press two.
I have read nothing on this stuff.
You're in luck, or you're not, because I have read everything.
Okay.
Well, why don't
you... You're predisposed to cannibalism.
Don't put it that way.
In terms of enthusiasm, as an interest.
No, keep going.
The Cannibal Cop. I never saw anybody more obsessed. If the Cannibal Cop did a book signing, you would.
I would never go near.
Please, can you make this out to Julie?
Just because I own a copy of Gilberto Valle's book does not mean that I'm a fan of his. I think it's great that he went to prison, honestly. I think that throwing him in prison for his fantasies, does it set a dangerous precedent? Sure. Am I happy that he was in jail? I was thrilled about it. First of all, I'm happy when any cop goes to jail. Second of all, that guy was like stalking women because he had the resources of a cop. And the reason why he got arrested was because he was going back and forth with someone about the specs. Of like, my wife is this much and my oven is this big. And you're like, that's enough. As far as I'm concerned,
yeah,
I'm okay with that being like, but that's just a fantasy. I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah.
You know how big your cell is going to be. You want to talk about oven specs. This cell is a certain.
He inspired you to get that tattoo. ACAC. All cops are cannibals.
Welcome to Double Threat.
Yes. My name's Tom.
And I'm
here,
Julie.
My guest is Julie.
Oh, sorry.
I'm the host, and my guest tonight is Julie Klausner, an expert on celebrity cannibalism and cannibalism in law enforcement.
Nice. I'm thrilled to be here.
Her new book is called Yum Yum, Save That Hand for Me.
Give me a hand.
And it's a pleasure to have you on Double Threat.
I'm thrilled to be here. What would you like to know?
Well, I know nothing about celebrity or law enforcement cannibalism.
I just said because I'm eating a big.
Oh, you are? Okay. I was wondering. You seem. Now I'll let you.
No, I don't eat no meat. I don't eat no meat.
Sure. Now, what is the story with?
So Armie Hammer, whose name is not just like a funny pun on Arm and Hammer, his family is that. Like, Brett, would you mind calling up his Wikipedia? I know he's from an insanely wealthy family.
Yes.
He's got oil baron.
Every time you buy one of those little boxes of baking soda to keep your refrigerator fresh,
you're making
a
sure
quarter.
That he's hard as calculus whenever a model has bones that look breakable.
Yeah.
So Armie Hammer is someone that I always found to be really boring as an actor. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he is his paternal great grandfather was oil tycoon and philanthropist Armand Hammer. Okay.
Okay.
So it's not just like, oh, wouldn't it be funny if we named our kids? Yeah.
Sure.
I don't know. Like, have you ever had an opinion about him as an actor?
I liked him in Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Man from UNCLE, you mean?
Yes.
I've always pronounced
it that way. The man from UNCLE.
And Brett liked it because he thought it was UNC and they're, wait, are they Georgia rivals?
Well, I thought it was the man from UCLA where he took college courses, according to his Wikipedia bio.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he went to LC. Okay. Well, anyway, Armie Hammer is a rich guy who's blonde and I always found very dull. But mm-hmm. now it's very interesting because
suddenly he became the most interesting person. he eats people. What's the deal?
He has he has very violent sexual fantasies and he's into very like violent BDSM stuff, kink stuff.
Okay.
And including chomping on chickies.
Okay.
And I'm very kink positive. I don't think there's anything off limits that you can fantasize about or text with someone about who's like a consensual person who signed off on the fantasy. The stuff that gets a little, well, first of all, he does claim to have eaten the heart out of a live deer, which I just don't think is true. He bragged at one point that he took the heart out of a live deer, which mm-hmm. to me seems like if you're breaking the sternum, that's not a lot. And look, I'm a vegan. I don't like thinking about this, but I will because it's important. He also mentioned that the heart was the size of a catcher's mitt. These were all sexts. I don't believe that. Okay, so I don't believe that Armie Hammer has... I haven't seen any evidence that he's actually munched on some like more interesting grub than you and I or anyone around us. The text that he sent to multiple women or DMs, I believe, are all completely real. They are so real. Mm-hmm. I've read all of them.
And they're what? Him saying, come on over, I'll have your foot for dinner?
In so many words. I mean,
now, is it true? Is it true? The only thing I heard is that he ate the other Winklevoss twin. From that movie.
That was a deleted scene. Aaron Sorkin was like, I only put this in so I could get some of that oil baron money.
Yeah, so he did not eat the other twin.
No, and I also was trying to think of anything else I'd seen him in, and it all kind of involves food, because Call Me By Your Name, I think he eats like a cummy peach, if I remember. That was a movie I saw with Danielle Henderson, and I was so fucking bored. I remember I left, there was like, 15 minutes left in the movie and you don't know that at the time. You're just bored. So you're like, I'm going to go get a second popcorn or just,
Gotta squeeze that sody refill in under the wire before the movie ends.
I was just like, I'll be right back. And if you've ever done that where you come back and like the credits are up.
Yeah. When they see me coming back up late in the thing for like, I'd like a popcorn refill and a soda refill. Cause I got the plan that you can do that. And they're just like, you got 20 minutes left, dude. Really? You're going to make us fill both of these things up at the last second. You're walking out of here with that stuff. And then you walk out with it. You never eat the popcorn after you walk out of the, if you try to leave the theater with it, you're just like, well, maybe I'll take it with me. And then you take it. It's like, ugh, disgusting.
I did that once. And boy, did I learn a lesson.
Yeah.
Which is that popcorn is delicious any time of day.
Okay, that's the lesson you learned. I learned a lesson that just like when that goes cold.
No, it's gross. It's one of those things where like you can't leave once you leave the theater, like whatever reactive field you're in, it just stops working on the thing.
Yeah, and the thing I would be worried about in New York City is a pigeon attack with all that popcorn.
Has that ever happened to you before?
No, because I'm scared of it. I'm not going to walk down the street with an open bag of popcorn. In Pigeon Town, USA.
It doesn't need to be open. I always thought it was a bag that you'd roll over once. You just go down the street with your open circus bucket being like, do-do-do-do-do, and throw a piece of popcorn in the air and catch it with your mouth.
Yeah, and then suddenly it don't land. And you're just like, you throw it up. And you're like, huh? Where'd it go? And then there's like a pigeon hovering over your head saying like, yum, yum, thank you.
That's the name of my second book.
Yum, yum, thank you.
So Armie Hammer is had basically, he'd had a bunch of these women at the same time that he was having sex with and sharing some sex to things that either happened or were fantasies or that he wanted to happen. And then in addition to that, he engaged in some very, like, you know, rough stuff with them sexually. And then, and this is, I think, the important part, then he, like, ghosted them, which you can't do. You can't do that and also call it consensual. You can't be like, I don't know, I don't want to make a joke about this, but you can't, like, do something fucked up to someone who's, like, into it at the time and then just never talk to them again, because then it actually is abuse. And I wasn't there. I don't know. I always, you know, in the words of the great Crabapple, Fran Lebowitz, the burden of truth is always, like, prove to me they didn't do it. I will always believe women first. So that this guy acted inappropriately is, and abusively is, I have no doubt of that. My heart is with the women who he hurt. Mm-hmm. And I think he's a bad news bear. So fuck him. And there's, oh, he's so irreplaceable. Where are we going to find another handsome blonde guy that you can't remember from seeing mm-hmm. a movie when you're like, was he in that? Fuck off. Find another actor. I'll find you one this afternoon. Hey, big boy, want to come and audition for my movie?
Yeah, he is so profoundly uninteresting to me that this stuff did not make me want to know more about him.
Wow.
I was just like, I don't want to know about this. But that's what, look, on the show, I had this, I have, that's why I have authors like yourself on. Author of
yes.
Heat That Hand Up. an exploration of chomping people in Hollywood and law enforcement.
And you must be pulling my leg.
You must be pulling my leg into my mouth. Do you think your cat, Jimmy Jazz, God forbid you keel over, right?
Croak.
Yeah. And you're there. Think Jimmy Jazz would be just like, put on a little bib
within 15 minutes
and get out the A1 steak sauce. How about you, Brett, with your cats?
Yeah, I was about to say, Tom, you joke about this, but this is like a real thought process for cat owners, I think, is like, is
how long would it take?
How long would it take? And I think I have one cat that would be under 10 minutes and then another cat that would be like a week.
Sure.
So it's based on sort of personality, I think, but yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've got one that is already kind of testing the waters that'll sort of, you know, take a little, if I'm, you know, fall asleep on the couch, I'll wake up and he's kind of nibbling. And so,
well, is that why they do that thing where they're making bread? Are they softening you up?
No,
Are you sure though? Are you sure they're not just like,
maybe
I want to work on the spot that I'm going to eat first. I got to tenderize it.
Oh my God. They're like pizza men. They're like little pizza men.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to eat this girl.
So Jimmy Jazz is just kind of like, let's soften up this area right here. This will be the entry point.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
I like it when people say I'm famous for, especially, like, I remember once I was in college and there was like a lawyer came to talk to us about something. It's like art school. And there was like an artist agent who's like, she goes, when I get a contract, she goes, I'm famous for my black Sharpie and I cross out things that I don't like. I'm like, you're not famous, first of all. And it's just a strange expression. And then I also like it when people are like, oh, my famous cornbread.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, you can't have the recipe.
Like, oh, it's like, wait, I don't think you'd say someone else's famous cornbread. I think you'd only say it about your own. Like, I wouldn't say like, oh, Tom's making his famous cornbread as much as you're like, I'm going to make my famous cornbread.
I could picture, though, if you're just really pumping the other person up and you're just kind of like, oh, Julie's making her famous Brussels sprouts.
I would say, oh, Tom is bringing his, maybe I would say Tom is bringing his famous
cornbread. But that's what I mean. If you mean it and you're celebrating the other person, I could picture you say it like that. And I'd be like, oh, Tom's bringing his famous Wonder Bread to the party is more like what it would be.
But you can't say that about yourself, right?
Well, plenty of people can and do.
But I don't think they should.
No, they shouldn't. Absolutely not. It's wrong to do, but plenty of people, it's just, they need to mythologize about something about themselves to make them want to keep trying in this life.
Yeah.
What do you think Brett's go-to dish is, Julie? What do you think?
Oh, that's a great question, because we know that Brett is a good cook.
Yeah.
And we know he's from Atlanta.
I would picture
the jambalaya.
I picture he probably does like some I bet you Brett has like a casserole that he can make, like
a hot dish.
Yeah, like a hot dish.
He's nodding. I was going to say more something in the stir fry realm, like an open pan, not like a oven, not like we're going to bake this as much as just like fires on. And then you put something in the pan, it goes and you go, yeah.
I picture Brett has a thing like a sweet potato casserole.
Oh,
how close are we, Brett?
Well, look, this all sounds delicious, but you haven't really zeroed in on it yet.
just like a full goat. What is it? Just a goat? You and your satanic friends just barbecue a goat. What are you even getting at, Brett? What is the answer? We covered a lot of range.
You did. Look, when I really come alive in the kitchen, what really gets me motivated is doing glazes and rubs for fish. Like coming up because there's no, I like going, no recipe. What do we got? I've got just a fresh piece of fish with no flavoring. And how do we make this pop? You know, that's really what gets me going in the kitchen. And so I go into the refrigerator, the spice rack, everything. And then it's like, you know, at that point, it's just like, I'm like a medieval alchemist at that point, just really going to town on this fish. And, I would
glazes
say
and rubs.
I would never have a million years guessed that Excuse the answer me. Would be.
Well, at least that took the Armie Hammer stuff off the forefront of my mind.
It's like Tom and I brainstorming about all these nice, delicious foods. He goes, what do you think, Brett? And he goes, I like glazes and rubs for fish. I didn't expect that in a million years.
And he called himself an alchemist. You were just saying, I like Julie, you just said, I can't imagine anybody, like people saying my famous this and that. This guy just called himself an alchemist.
I picture him in a sorcerer's robe.
He said that's when he comes alive. He said that's when he comes alive.
It's when he rubs and glazes a flavorless fish.
His poor family sees him in the kitchen. He comes in with a thing of halibut. And he's just like, get the spices out.
I'll be back in an hour. No, he doesn't like to. He likes to. It seems like there's a lot of hunting, gathering he likes to do. He's rooting through whatever's in the pantry and the fridge and be like, eeny, meeny, miny, mo.
Yeah.
Which will be the glaze I know?
Yeah. And it's like, yeah.
Fee, fi, fo, fum.
I think
time,
his family.
Time to rub this.
Like, coat this fish in bubble gum. Fee, fi, fo, fum. Yeah, he's melting down some bubble gum. He throws some Big League Chew into a pan.
And Amy's like, what's the ETA on dinner? You're like, leave me alone. Yeah.
I think Brett's family is doing like the equivalent of like on a talk show when They're like, all right, put it in the oven, Brett. And then like, okay, we'll watch the thing. You leave the room and then they switch the real food for the thing. And then they take it out. They're like, oh, wow, Brett, your fish looks amazing. It looks so good. He's like, it's the difference is the bubble gum. He's like, I tried purple Big League Chew. I tried the Great Big League Chew this time. I figured I'd see what that was like. And they're like, yeah, that's right. It's the Great Big League Chew made this fish so good. And then in the garbage is the thing Brett was making.
They're trying to feed it to the cats, and the cats are like, fuck you.
Yeah, the cat's just like, is this gum on this fish?
Just the idea that like, it's like, let him do what he needs to do in the kitchen for however long he needs to do it, because I swear to God, that's where he comes alive. And then between now and like he comes out of the kitchen and finally I can talk to him. He's a human.
Well, now we need a shirt of Brett in the kitchen.
A sorcerer's hat and robe.
Yeah. But he needs to be dressed like a traditional Merlin type wizard. Do they do aprons? Oh my God. Does T Public do aprons?
I'll get on the phone with Jerry and ask him. Maybe they can start it for us.
Imagine you're wearing an apron that says fee fi fo fum, time to add some bubble gum.
Close your eyes and make a wish. I'm going to make a glaze for fish.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Close your eyes. No, don't close your eyes. Maybe you look at what you're putting in there.
Close your eyes and make a wish. Time to rub some stuff on fish.
Stuff.
I mean, look, you guys joke. I guarantee you put me in a kitchen with some random ingredients, I can come up with a glaze no matter what, or a rub. I mean, it doesn't, even if I go in not knowing what's in the kitchen, and or if it's a night when it's like, oh man, there's nothing to make. I got these random ingredients. Mm-hmm. That's where I thrive. You know, there's really no combination of things that I couldn't make a good glaze or rub out of.
This is troubling. The level of self-assuredness is off the charts. I've never seen somebody more confident. You guys joke, but like anytime somebody says you guys joke, but it means I'm starting to actually get mad.
My name is Brett. I'm passionate about two things.
I like podcasts and glazes and rubs.
So I guess three. No marinades? Yeah. No marinades, Brett?
Yeah, you could throw marinade in there. I think these are all kind of loose terms. When does a glaze become a marinade, you know?
I see.
Yeah, I guess marinade is what implies it was overnight or something. It's been in there for a while.
When does a glaze become a marinade? The answer, my friends, is in Brett's kitchen. The answer
is
in Brett's
kitchen. Don't go in there with your eyes closed.
Yeah.
Leave him alone. He's come alive.
It's alive. It's alive. They lower down a piece of salmon.
Brett's wife is on the phone at Domino's.
No, sometimes Amy and I will play Guess the Glaze, where I'll do, you know, I won't tell her what's in it, and then she's got to guess the ingredients.
Mm-hmm. Guess the glaze.
She's actually very good at it. She usually gets, you know, at least three out of five.
What happens when she doesn't get any? Is she punished or yelled at? Is she screamed at? Do you get the do you get the black sorcerer's robe on?
You can't taste. You can't taste the melted down Haribo watermelon. little soft chewies. You can't taste those.
Brett goes out into his bedroom. He comes back in his black sorcerer's robe. Amy knows he's angry.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, she's been rooting through the garbage, being like, what the fuck did he put in this glaze?
Today is going to be a clips extravaganza episode. It's a
good old fashioned
rollicking hoedown.
Yeah.
And Tom, I know you're feeling a little ill right now after that Army Hammer stuff, but I got good news for you because you're about to be feeling a lot better when I start rolling out these listener clips. I've got a, I think this is an all-time record on Double Threat. I've got 10 clips lined up today. 10 listener clips.
This, everything must go. This is a clearinghouse of clips. By the way, when I mentioned earlier that we were having a hoedown, mm-hmm. I want to pose the question to Brett. Who of us, Julie or Tom, would look stupider dressed up like a cowboy?
Who? Which of you would look stupider dressed up like a cowboy?
I can answer this one already. Unequivocally, I know the answer.
Now, are we talking like a rodeo cowboy or kind of like an out there on the plains cowboy? You know,
like I feel like modern,
man with no name cowboy
not cool, not like anything from like a cool movie. Like I'm talking about like Clint Black hat, just like I'm going to go line dancing. It's 1994
cowboy. So you're saying cowboy hat, button down shirt with the snaps on it.
Yeah. A belt buckle that's like turquoise and silver, maybe a bolo tie,
and some like, and then just like some blue jeans, like
some light,
nice,
like I'd say like light wash blue jeans, and then some of them pointy cowboy boots underneath.
Oh, I can answer this one already. This is
yeah, I actually
not even close.
I'm willing to answer this legitimately and sincerely as long as there are no like consequences, lingering consequences for my answer.
Don't worry, Brett. When you say I would look stupider, there will be no consequences.
Okay. Because I was going to say, Julie, I think you'd be surprised at how well you could pull this look off.
No!
Tom, I think it would be a complete disaster if you...
I agree. I could not agree. Brett, if you were not talking, that's literally what I would have said. Julie,
so what?
Julie could pull it off.
I don't think so.
I think you could make it look cute and charming.
I don't know, because I feel like I'm such a Jewish New Yorker that if I did that, I'd be, first of all, canceled.
But I think that's what would be working in your favor also.
Yeah,
ironic.
Well, no, this is not where I live, but isn't it cute that I'm dressed like this now and people would go along with it? Because that would be the attitude with it. It's like, I'm not pretending I'm a cowboy.
I think it would be so bad for Tom. It'd be one of those things where people like pretend to ignore it. Like they pretend to not, like they don't acknowledge the cowboy outfit. They kind of just try to roll with it. And
it would be like Michael Dukakis putting that army helmet on and sticking his head out of the tank. A thing that he hasn't been a viable political figure in 35 years. And it still haunts him.
Or it would be like a meme. Like everybody would be looking at the Dukakis tank image again just because you put on a cowboy hat.
Yes. Well, look at how when you get these like these right wing dolts who will just try to look like cowboys every once in a while.
Uh-huh.
And it's the clumsiest look you've ever seen where they're just like, if you see like Ben Shapiro with a cowboy hat on or stuff like that.
Oh, God, that made
Can
me
you type
want
Ben
to.
Ben Shapiro cowboy hat, please, Brant.
Yeah, sure. And sorry, one quick detail. I'd forgotten that in the Michael Dukakis picture, he has his name like on the helmet as though it's the first day of elementary school or something. Yeah, he has the name Mike Dukakis like as like a sticker on the helmet.
Man, he blew it on that one.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
he wears a cowboy hat as if it's one of those little, like, what were they, color forms or something where you just, like, can, like, a dress-em-up doll thing where you just, like, well, I'm going to make you look like a Western look today. And you're just like, that doesn't work.
I was going to say, like, is this real or was that hat just Photoshopped on top? Oh, my God.
There he is.
He decided not to tuck his shirt in that day.
Is that Crenshaw?
That's old Crenshaw.
Fuck that guy.
Another awesome dude that SNL indulged.
SNL alum, Dan Crenshaw.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Turned into a fun character.
And your host, Dan Crenshaw.
Musical guest, the Josh Hawley Trio.
And there's Josh Hawley and two Nazis being like, Vovodiodo.
So we have 10 clips.
Yeah,
eh?
You guys ready for these clips? Let's do the clips.
Yeah. 10.
This is from listener Sylvia. And once again, thank you so much to our listeners. It's such a I watch every clip that you guys send in. I wish I could play them all, you know, on a loop. They're all so good at the same time. And so this show is an opportunity to get to some good ones that I've been sitting on for a while. So this first one comes from Sylvia. And this kind of references, Julie, a couple episodes ago, Julie and Tom, you guys were theorizing about a time travel scenario in which Weird Al Yankovic would have been on the Beatles and would have written Beatles parody songs. And Sylvia, this is a song that never made it to a Weird Al album. It's not officially part of the canon, I think, or the recorded canon. And this song is not it doesn't imagine Weird Al on the Beatles, but Weird Al on Wings, because this is a parody that he did of Live and Let Die called Chicken Pot Pie. Yes.
Paul McCartney vetoed this.
That's right. Yeah.
Paul McCartney what?
Vetoed it because he
because of chicken?
Paul McCartney
said he's a vegetarian, right? And said, so you can't do chicken pot pie.
Make it lentil pot pie. That's what I would have.
So don't eat me. When we were young, Bernie's deli was down the block.
Really good singer.
Mm-hmm. Here we go. It's chicken pot pie. Wow. Because this is early Al, first of all. He's got the...
It's raw Al. I think he has bangs.
Yeah, no, that I never heard that. I only heard of that song. I'm now angry at Sir Paul McCartney for refusing to let Al... I'm angry at him.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll sleep at night anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think this is the only footage that exists of this song. It's just this one little clip from a live show.
I think it's better that way.
Yeah.
9.
The next clip I got for you, clip number 2. This is from listener Sammy, and this is the celebrity chef, Nigella Lawson. Nigella Lawson, I think a British celebrity chef.
Sexy, sexy, sexy.
Yeah, she did, I think this was a Christmas special she did over the holidays, and this is her actual pronunciation of the word microwave on that Christmas special.
Okay.
But I still need a bit of milk, full fat, which I've warmed in the microwave.
No.
One more time.
Microwave. I still need a bit of milk, full fat, which I've warmed in the microwave.
The microwave. Oh, no.
I mean, it seems like she's being silly, no?
I would hope she's being... How can you think it's the microwave?
I think she's being a little...
I gotta give her a little bit of credit on this.
Yeah.
It's not like... It's not like when Smokey Robinson said Chinooka.
Very
for Hanukkah.
Confidently. Yes. By the way, how about this? A parody of Rico Suave, but micro. Mm-hmm. Ave a Rico micro. Suave.
Rico. Suave.
Suave. 8.
All right. Next up, we're just getting started here. Next up is this is from listener Ian. And this is a we're going to a Walmart somewhere in America. I'm not sure where this is. And at this Walmart, the manager, the floor manager, this is what he would do every morning before Walmart opened to get all his employees pumped up for the day. Oh. He would do a Walmart fight song. That was interactive.
No. We're going to crush these local businesses. We're going to run them all out.
We're going to crush your dreams. You wanted health insurance when you were little? You never
No, I'm just going to imagine, before you hit play, Brett, let's imagine that, Julie, you and I, it's our first day at this Walmart. Let's imagine this is our first day at this Walmart, and the manager is saying, all right, before we start, come on, meet me by the registers and mm-hmm. this will happen.
And also, is my shift already begun or like, does it start after I sit?
No, we start, our shifts start 1 minute after this ends.
Ugh. Okay, let's get me a rhythm.
Oh no.
Follow me.
There's like a skinny teen in the back. Long hair.
I love that. Can you hit pause? We are Walmart.
Hungry.
Imagine you're working at Walmart, which is if that's your job, that's perfectly fine. But it's also the kind of thing.
But I wish you were treated better.
Yeah, maybe you should. Exactly. You don't exactly the corporate. Overlords there are not exactly looking out for you the way they could be. But now you got to put up with this manager who wants to pump everybody. This is not college football. Like he's treating this like this is the most college football thing I've ever seen. And I would just say to him, hey, I am not Walmart actually. Hmm. Best of luck. Like Julie and I would say, we are not Walmart.
I'd be while everyone's doing this, I'd be in the grocery section smuggling a watermelon under my shirt.
So you just hear off in the distance. I got like 45 seconds to get that watermelon.
I stuff a bunch of clementines in each bra cup.
Hey, where's Julie?
Oh, we are Walmart. Yes. I
you
wave.
Fired
and you
up
see,
today?
I wave. You see five bananas instead of fingers. I wave. Yeah, I'm fired up.
We are Walmart.
Nina, young man, young girl, welcome to Wally World. You're going to be a cashier someday. You got a smile on your face. You love this place. Moving those buttons all over the place.
Do you see that kid in the background who I was talking about, the one who kind of looks like the one from American Movie who made Coven, guy in the back with the long hair who's
Mark.
Just like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, look at this place. Like, wouldn't it be the thing that somebody's saying, like, you're kind of like, hey, I work at Walmart. It's fine. Whatever. Maybe. No, you are Walmart.
Also, like you can see the lighting, like you could see that horrible overhead halogen lighting in mm-hmm. this clip in a way that I've only been exposed to it for what have we been watching this for 45 seconds. These people have had to do shifts and shifts in person. It's just mm-hmm. so awful.
We are Walmart. And meanwhile, people are just like, man, can this guy get moved upstairs or something? It's like he's too into it.
Do you think that he gets paid more for it or is this all his initiative?
I think he's probably doing this and hoping somebody's like, we're noticing this got a real go-getter over at the branch.
Yeah.
This guy might be corporate material.
Yeah. Mark David Chapman thought Jodie Foster would notice him too. And you know what? To his credit, she did.
Yeah. And then they got married. And they've
here
been happily
comes the bride.
Happily ever after.
She's really impressed. You shot the president, and now she's your wife.
Wouldn't that be?
You're gonna love. Oh boy, when you hear how we met, you're really gonna love it.
It's a funny story.
Oh boy, is it funny? It's really funny.
Tell the story. Tell the story.
Okay.
About
okay.
How
I
you
will.
Two
I
met.
Said I will. I said I would. I'm going to. So,
come on, it's such a good story.
No, I'm trying to. Gosh, you know, he finishes all your sentences. It's, I guess one of the side effects of living together for however long we've been together, 100 years. Anyway, I was, as you know, an actress, and he shot the president. And I said, who was that? You want to pick this up, honey? Because I think the cake's ready. And I go off and get the cake.
Well, I went in the kitchen and there's somebody in there with a bunch of rubs.
Glazes and rubs.
Somebody was glazing. I went in to try to get the cake and there was a guy in there glazing and rubbing it.
Mark David Chapman's like creeped out by Sorcerer Brett.
Yeah. Mark David Chapman's like, just kind of like, honey, let's go.
He's like, rubs and glazes, glazes and rubs.
Brett has one of like those, one of those orbs that has the lightning going in it, like in Frankenstein.
From Sharper Image.
Yeah,
but it's he has those in his kitchen. Like plugged in. There's like a plug that's like right there.
And it's like he's got this clumpy glaze because he can't plug the blender in because the orb is plugged into the outlet. Why don't you just use the blender? I can't. I can't use the mixer. I got the orb plugged in.
7.
All right. So this next clip we've got here for you, this is from listener James. And as we know, a lot of celebrities have been busy during quarantine trying to figure out new types of projects they can work on and new things they can do while the entertainment industry is shut down. And perhaps nobody's been busier during quarantine than the lead singer of Rammstein, Till Lindemann. Do you guys remember the band Rammstein?
Du Hast. Yes. No. Du Hast I?
Yeah, they had the hit Du Hast, I believe, back in the 90s, a German sort of hard rock metal band. But the lead singer of Rammstein, Till Lindemann, just a month ago, launched an online erotic store. Which is very cool. And the name of this store is Dr. Dick. let's take a look at what you can get on.
Oh no, this is like Armie Hammer, bloody dark stuff.
Yeah, so it is. It has sort of like a horror sort of theme to it.
Haunted house kind of thing.
And this is his store, Dr. Dick. If we go to shop here. And this was sent to us by listener James. Listener James notified us about Dr. Dick.
Oh, why, thank you, James. Thank you for this one, James.
These are not sex toys. I thought I was expecting to see some like dildos.
Yeah,
butt plugs.
It's sort of loosely erotic, I guess.
Here's a vibrator. Tildo.
Which is his name. That's classy.
Everything about this is classy. Dr. Dick socks, vodka, and golden shower.
Golden shower is the name of his wine. So you can get golden shower wine.
Oh, boy.
And how much is this in U.S. dollars?
So it's in euros here. So
come on, Brett. You could do a quick...
I think it's almost close to 1-to-1 at this point, dollars to euros. So this is pretty. Yeah, you're pretty much gonna spend what you see here in U.S. dollars.
Yeah, thanks for that, Larry Kudlow. This guy's the Larry Kudlow of podcasts over here. Mm-hmm. I think he's gonna come out of this whole thing smelling like a rose.
Who is this? Who?
Larry Kudlow, like
who's
one
that?
Of Trump's, one of the clowns who's always propping up Trump.
Oh, okay.
Like a finance douche.
Dr. Dick premium condoms. I like to fuck. Oh.
It's a Dr. Dick necklace for a hefty price tag there, 350 euros.
The logo's classy. It's a...
Oh, it's a D and another D, and they form together a dick with...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine you're walking around wearing a Dr. Dick hat. No, it's the guy from Rammstein.
You're like, that's even worse.
No, it's the guy from Rammstein's sex shop.
What is this Dr. Dick? It's like a taxidermy thing, but they put glasses on it?
Yeah, a lot of these have like multiple concepts at once. So this is, because I should also add the logo is also a syringe. It's two Ds in the shape of a dick that also is a syringe, hence the Dr. Dick.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, there's a lot going on.
Yeah, and there's
none,
one.
And none of it, very little of it I like.
Can you buy the vaccine?
This is the only way you can get the vaccine in Europe.
In Europe, you have to buy it through Dr. Dick's shop.
6.
This next clip I got coming up, I gotta say on this one, this is from listener Roderick. I really enjoyed watching this one. Thank you, Roderick, for sending this in. And this is my favorite kind of video because it's a video that only has about 1,000 views on YouTube. So you know that this is a true diamond in the rough here. This is a show that was on. It's like a theater review show, Broadway review show that was on public access television in New York. And it's hosted by these two guys, Charles Gross and Jeff Goodman, and they do like reviews of plays on Broadway. But in this episode of Two on the Isle, one of the hosts, Charles Gross, reveals that he has his own play coming out that he has written. And he and his co-host, Jeff, talk about the play that he has written.
Well, Charlie, something new is happening in your life.
Yes, indeed.
One's moving from one side of the footlights to the other.
Yes, it's very exciting. I'm going to be making my off-Broadway debut in this year's International Midtown Theater Festival.
But not just as an actor, as a writer, too.
Yes, this is a play. It's based on some short stories that I've written over the years, and it is called How I Found an Affordable Apartment in Manhattan Without Really Trying.
Oh, it's not the Upper West Side of Manhattan?
Well, actually, yes.
Title is so long, you can't even remember.
It depends on the marquee, you know.
Okay.
But the original title was How I Found an Affordable Apartment on the Upper West Side of Manhattan Without Really Trying, and Other Strange But True Confessions of an Indian Chief.
By Charles Gross,
yes. And what originally happened was I had written some stories, and I would always tell them. And my wife, after hearing them for the upteenth time, got so sick of it. She says, why don't you just make a play out of it and tell it that way? And so I did.
This is just, this is what, cable access?
Yeah.
I love this.
And these guys are doing their Broadway review show, and the one guy is revealing his aspirational he's got his Broadway. It's off Broadway, right?
Off Broadway. This is like us at the beginning of the show, where one is interviewing the other. They're co-hosts, but one is in the.
Sure.
He doesn't seem thrilled to be interviewing the other. I will add.
So it's so far off Broadway. It's like where Sully landed that plane. It's
the Hudson River.
Yes. Yeah. That's how far off Broadway it is. It's in the middle of the Hudson.
It's on a, like that booze cruise. What's it called? The Beast.
When somebody says,
ferry. Yeah.
How far off, tell me, Julie, you as a Broadway aficionado.
Yes.
What is the demarcations for like off Broadway and off Broadway?
I don't know, but I'm dying to know what theater this actually was playing in. It's at the Upper West Side. Oh no, that's just about his,
I believe he's going to tell
experience
us what
theater, on the Upper West Side.
Yeah, I think he's going to tell us what theater it's in.
Okay.
And we are just getting started on this. This is the kind of clip where you get a whole relationship in
this
like a few
great.
Minutes. This is a really fun clip.
They kind of have like a Bob and David vibe going, where the one guy's in a suit and he's like the professional looking one, and he's the one revealing his place coming. And the other guy's dressed more casually, like
that's
David.
One way of putting it, yeah.
See, she wasn't really trying to tell you that, but what she wanted to do is just be quiet. But I guess you took her literally.
I did, and she actually has consented to come and see me do it.
Wow!
It starts off in 1990 and kind of goes on till the early 2000s.
Now, is this autobiographical?
For the most part, it is.
So is she a character in the play?
Not really. I mean, I do mention the fact that I am married at some point.
Do you mention the kids?
I do, yes.
What are your two kids' names?
Sarah and Miriam.
Give a big shout out to them right now.
Hey, girls.
Now go to sleep. But now the most important thing I have to ask about the show.
Yes.
Am I in it?
Actually, no.
Oh. How can it be any good then?
Well, I don't really discuss my professional life.
Okay.
With it, I guess, you know, maybe you'll be in the sequel. Actually, I did.
The sequel, How I Met the Biggest Pain in the Behind I Ever Met.
Well, interestingly enough, I did write a TV pilot based on it, which was called A Small Island Off the Coast of New Jersey. And there was a character based on you in it.
Uh-oh.
So I will have to show it to you. But in this case, basically, I tell how I moved to the city, how I found my first apartment.
Is a one-man show, correct?
It's a one-man show, yes. And certain interesting things, some things that happened to my life, for example, why I kept a car in Manhattan.
Yeah, I asked you that for years.
Indeed.
And they just cut they just cut to a photo of a car. That is the weird. Because first of all, this show, just to paint the picture, they're sitting in chairs that look like they would be in the waiting room of a doctor's office. There's just the projection of kind of musical notes behind them. The one guy's dressed in like a very faded olive shirt.
Yeah.
And the other guy's in a suit that is maybe not the greatest suit you've ever seen. And it's kind of like, oh, hello. But it should be like, oh, goodbye.
Yes. And the one who's sort of in the interviewing position is holding a playbill, but we don't know why.
Yes, he's reading off a playbill as if it's his notes, but that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, they also, like, he seems to hate him. I would say the guy on the right seems to hate the guy on the left, whether he's jealous because he wrote a play and he didn't.
Yeah, it does seem like there's some tension in the air.
Indeed. And it's kind of a Spalding Gray meets Jerry Seinfeld type of thing, with just a dash of How I Met Your Mother thrown in for good measure.
Whatever. Now, is this a full two-act play, or is this a one-act?
I think it is a one-act.
And are you on a double bill, or is it...
No, it's a single show. It runs about 90 minutes.
Uh-huh.
I don't think we're
going to... Wow.
Yeah, I know. I didn't realize how... It's not easy to talk for 90 minutes.
No!
So I'm kind of practicing it just...
Maybe you should cut it down
to get my strength up. Maybe we need an intermission. I don't know. But also touches on... things that touched a lot of people in the city, such as 9/11, the blackouts of 1965 and 2003.
Where were you in 65?
I was living in Riverdale with my parents.
Really?
Yes. So I do remember the 65 blackout well.
The hostility undeniable.
Palpable.
Really? Where were you in 1965?
I was living in Riverdale with my parents.
You should probably cut it down a little. 90 minutes, huh? Wow. You should probably cut it down a little.
And it's just you on stage alone?
It's just you up there alone?
Are your daughters in it?
Well, give them a shout out. Give them a shout out. But here's the most important question. Am I in it? Well, then who'd want to see it?
No, he...
Keep going. I love this. Which one of us is which? I think we're both the guy on the right.
It's like we're both of them.
I think we're both the guy on the right.
So which one is the... So, Julie, you have a new play coming out? Maybe you should cut it down.
So, Tom, you have another podcast?
Yeah.
Why? Wow, you know.
And he did. I do think it's great that he really laid out some pretty solid reference points as for Broadway, How I Met Your Mother and Seinfeld.
And yeah.
And Spalding Gray.
And then and his friend goes, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever. I thought you asked about my daughters. Well, I remember that one. We were at Toys R Us.
I remember.
And I was putting them on the Ferris wheel in Toys R Us. And just as they threw the switch, all the power went out.
But wasn't there another blackout in the city in the 80s?
There was one in 1977, which I allude to briefly.
Okay.
So, yes, we cover the three major blackouts
Because I wouldn't want you to miss
over
those.
The last 40 years. I do talk about 9/11 from my actual perspective of that day.
Mm-hmm.
And something very dear to my heart, the Macy's Parade.
The Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, yes. So,
really? You could ask me about it. You could have asked me about it. Well, maybe I have a play coming up, too. My play's 89 minutes. And I don't just allude to the blackout from 1987. I go talk about the one from 77.
I recreate them.
And then I talk about how I'm actually the son of Sam.
Whoops. Maybe I shouldn't have said that.
I like how he was like, and my particular experience on 9/11, and he didn't even ask, like,
yeah,
where were you? What was it?
Yeah.
I don't care.
Oh, so you were, your particular, tell me about your unique experience on 9/11. You were terrified and crying. Oh, you were the one who was crying and scared that day.
I put my daughters on the Ferris. Uh-huh.
I went to the, so I went to the Ferris wheel at the Toys R Us in Times Square. And then the second they get on it, the power goes out. So anyway, like, he's just so not interested in the story.
Like, and you know, that's one of his like good stories.
Well, he even said, he's like, I know this one.
No, I know this one. Maybe you should cut it down.
Special memories of that parade too.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yes.
Okay, well, what...
We'll have to discuss that in therapy one day.
I guess we will.
When we're in couples therapy.
I guess we will. But a lot of it is the good and the not so good about living in the city.
And just for an example, what's your favorite part of the play?
Ooh, I think my favorite, the part I enjoy the most, I guess, I enjoy the whole thing, but I certainly enjoy telling people how I found an affordable apartment on the Upper West Side of Manhattan.
Well, that's why it's the title of the play.
Without really trying.
Could you give us a little hint of how you did that? Give us like two words, just to clue us in.
Two words?
Two.
My friend Abby.
Ooh.
That's
Abby
three.
Who, well, my friend Abby.
Abby Normal.
Who told, that's a different thing. Who called me up and said, you know, since you're looking for an apartment, you told me you wanted to find an apartment, I thought you should know about this. Now, you see, Abby at the time was looking for her own apartment. You see, coming to New York is like getting high for the first time. You experience the city as a tourist.
Charles, we're learning so much about you.
You come to see a show, and then you want more. You get addicted. You want to score the ultimate high in Manhattan, and that's an affordable apartment. And Abby had scored that. The problem was she was so high, she couldn't come down. She had to keep apartment hunting. So she decided to find one for a friend. And fortunately, that was me.
Oh, keep in touch with Abby anymore?
Abby and I have not spoken in some time, unfortunately. I don't think she's living in the city anymore. Well,
can you give a shout out to Abby? Because I think you should get a free ticket.
Thank you again.
What's her last name?
Well, I'm not going to say that. I don't think Abby wants her last name on the air. Abby knows who she is.
But
Abby,
if she comes to theater, can
the same phone number, call me. We'll give you a free ticket. Interestingly, the hardest part was talking about the car. It was a 79 Cutlass Supreme that you rode in many times.
Feeling falling down on my head. It was lovely.
Yeah, well, and what happened was, why I brought it to the city, why I kept it, and having to let go, which turned out to be very hard, even though I hadn't driven the car in quite some
time. In years.
Yes.
It just stayed in the park.
The other guy so much.
He hates him so much.
He knows everything about him and hates everything about him. He's so mad that his friend actually went through with this play. He couldn't be rooting harder against it. It wasn't good. You know, like after he like watches it, like he's at the thing and like talks to somebody who he went with, just like, boy, that was not good.
Or he talks to someone he did not go with. Like he's standing online at the men's room being like, that was bad, right?
He should have cut it down. He should have cut it down. I told him to cut it down. He didn't cut it down.
I like it when he said, he goes, Abby, you'll get a free ticket. And he goes, or two.
Yeah. He's like, say your, what's your last name? I don't want to say your last name.
Okay, well.
But she can get a ticket.
Give it two. No one will be there anyway.
Yeah, the place will be empty. No one's going to see this play.
Do you think he did see it? Do you think he...
Oh, I'm sure he saw it. I'm sure he saw it more than once. Because he hated it so much he kept going back.
Oh, you got... Of course I have plans tonight. I'm going to go watch that piece of shit my idiot partner made. Again. He made it longer.
We tried to do the show. We couldn't even review any new plays. Because he's so busy with his stupid one-man show.
By the way, it's not a play. It's a one-man show. It's different. I remember riding in your car. I kept bopping my head against the ceiling.
Like $1 million parking space in the city. It was unbelievable.
Interestingly, she is still on the road.
She? Yes. Oui.
Yes. So unfortunately, no longer mine.
And so now this is being done on the auspices of what group?
The International Midtown Theater Festival.
And how long has that been going on?
I think it's 9 years. And there will, unfortunately,
and about what dates are this going to be?
This will be late July, early August.
And how can you find the dates and what theaters are going to be in?
I think it's called Stage Left. All of that information is now running across the bottom of the screen.
Stop running across there. It's running across my chest. Ow, ow, ow.
It's something I'm very excited about. And I hope people will come and see it.
I hope so, too. Well, I'll be there.
Okay.
With bells on. Do I have to be there more than once?
No, you only have to see it once.
Okay. But if I like it, can I come back again?
You can come back again, yeah.
I'm not paying, though.
Yeah, we'll give you a critics pass.
Oh, my God, Dr. I'm dying about thinking about reviewing this. What happens if I don't like it? Impossible! Like a plain yellow pumpkin to become a golden cabbage. It's impossible.
Impossible.
Okay, well, I actually don't talk about Cinderella.
Okay.
In the play. Although, interestingly, I do mention, I do talk about seeing The Sound of Music.
Really?
In the play, yes.
Which, so, the movie or?
The stage show at Lincoln Center with Debbie Boone.
Oh. Oh.
And Cinderella was also at Lincoln Center. Although not with Debbie Boone, and it's not mentioned in my play. So the play is How I Found an Affordable Apartment on the Upper West Side of Manhattan Without Really Trying, and Other Strange but True Confessions of an Indian Chief. It'll be at the International Midtown Theater Festival.
This is the greatest.
And I hope you'll come and see it.
An Indian Chief? We didn't even get into that. Well, that's going to be for another time, Charles.
Okay.
This is the best.
Can you go back to the part where he goes, impossible?
Impossible. Okay. What happens if I don't like it? Impossible. Like a plain yellow pumpkin to become a golden cabbage. It's impossible.
Okay, well, I actually don't talk about Cinderella.
Okay.
I like how he did
well,
that. He's so
don't
literal.
Actually, okay, well, I don't actually talk about Cinderella. Okay.
He's so mad. You know, the playwright at the end was just like, Charles Gross was like, I'm trying to plug the play. And he just kept making it all about him. He couldn't just give me one episode where
it's
it was
like
about
my
play.
He didn't even care. It was like,
impossible.
like a plain pumpkin to become a ball. Okay, well, actually, I don't mention Cinderella in the play.
Oh, so that's a skin crawler.
I love it.
Five. This next one, this is from listener Matthew. And Tom, I got to tell you, listener Matthew here is going to give you a run for your money on your IHOP paper towel dispenser.
Okay.
Because he sent in... For new listeners, Tom, in a previous episode, you can go back and find Tom shared a recording of an IHOP paper towel dispenser.
If we send that to John Kassir, be like, we found footage of you in an IHOP bathroom. Pay us and we'll send it to you.
And this is a door. It looks like it's in a parking garage, and it's a door that sounds like Miles Davis playing the trumpet. And
okay, I'm ready.
Here we go.
That's a pretty cool door.
That's a super cool door.
Yeah.
Four.
All right. So next we got a clip from Alistair. And this is a clip of a promotional clip of a Big Ange. You guys know Big Ange?
Rest in power.
The late great.
Yes. The late great Big Ange from Mob Wives. And this is like a promotional clip she did with OK Magazine. And OK Magazine, they're doing one of those like What's in My Bag series. And in this one, they had her on and they had her go through her purse and do a What's in My Purse a little segment.
She was perfect.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Big Ange, and this is what's in my pocketbook. my green velvet glasses. Gotta see. My bling lipstick. Gotta have it. With the mirror. And then, oh, my Chanel lip glosses. My Mercedes car key and Louis Vuitton keychain.
Everything she says is like this. This is great.
I got my keychain.
It's like going through a bag of groceries, like, and this is my cucumber.
And I got some Ritz crackers.
And this, of course, is some boxed couscous.
And then I got a tomato.
And this is the receipt.
My wallet and my credit cards. The medication bag.
The medication bag didn't get the same delivery.
I want to get it. I want to get in there, right? Let me in that medication bag.
Nexium for my heartburn. Perfect woman. Amazing. I wish she was alive. And yes. So many other people were dead.
Yes. So,
God bless.
Rest in peace, Big Ange. Yeah.
Three. And this next one is coming from listener Charlie. This clip comes from a food and travel show. And on this episode, they're touring the Ben & Jerry's factory in Vermont, where they make the ice cream. And
man. It's fish food, man. Got Americone. You want some Americone dream, man?
How about some wavy gravy, man?
You sure you don't want some Cherry Garcia, man?
I don't know. This chocolate fudge brownie doesn't have a pun in it, but it's pretty good, man.
This is the Jimmy Fallon ice cream, man.
Jimmy's the best. He's got the wheel of impressions and everything, man.
In this clip, you're going to get an answer to a question I know you guys have had for a long time, which is what happens to Ben & Jerry's flavors when they get discontinued? Where do they go? What happens to discontinued Ben & Jerry's flavors? And now we're going to find out.
Have you ever been discontinued?
We actually discontinue flavors all the time. They go to our flavor graveyard. We have almost 350 flavors in the flavor graveyard.
When you have a dearly departed flavor, such as Bovinity Divinity, you can go spend a little quiet time in front of the headstone of the flavor. Each headstone has kind of a unique saying.
Several years back, we had a contest to see what flavor the public wanted us to bring back from the dead. So the public voted. They wanted wavy gravy to come back. So on the day that we resurrected wavy gravy,
Brett, your face.
Procession go up there. And we actually literally dug up wavy gravy.
This is too scary.
Very touchy experience. And he was discontinued again, so he went right back 6 weeks later.
So
if only Terry Gilliam were alive today to see what they're doing with animation these days with sound effects.
I went over to see Ben and Jerry, and they have a graveyard.
I'm learning Flash Player 7.
Now that
that's cool, man.
That is cool. I will say, when it comes to ice cream, though, when you're just like, this is how I would be, at least. I'd be like, you discontinued my favorite flavor. This is an outrage. And so you'd be like, well, here's we still have 80 other flavors. Try one of these. And be like, yeah, that's great. I'm fine again. I just needed any ice cream in my mouth.
But that maybe what that person is not okay, then they go and they do a graveyard. What is that called when you desecrate a graveyard? A graveyard smash?
That is what a graveyard smash is.
We need to bring back wavy gravy.
You know why people didn't like wavy gravy?
Because it had gravy in it?
Yeah, it did.
As did gravy. Not. Was that what you were going to say?
It's turkey gravy. Yeah.
Is that what you were going to say?
It's vanilla ice cream and turkey gravy.
You were not going to say that.
No, that's literally what the ice cream is. It's turkey gravy. Brett actually uses it when for fish. He actually rubs it into the fish.
No, I think it's more of a glaze. That is fun. That's a fun game show. Rub or glaze.
There's a line in that video where he says that when they brought wavy gravy back from the dead, they literally dug it up from the graveyard, which I had to listen to a couple times to make sure I heard right. So I don't know what that, not like figuratively dug it up. He said they literally dug it up.
But they just throw the recipe in there?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if it's all the pints they didn't sell, or they just buried them and they dug them up, or it's the recipe. I'm not sure. But there was some literal like exhumation of wavy gravy.
I'd eat dirt ice cream. I'd eat ice cream that had been buried in the dirt, as long as it was in a container.
Yeah, me too. That Cherry Garcia, the first time I had that stuff.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
It was like, oh, ice cream is different than I thought it was.
Yeah.
This is, ice cream has leveled up. Are you a fish fan, Brett? You like fish. I picture you've probably seen fish a few times.
Not the kind of fish that you glaze or rub. The kind of fish that you dance along to. Yes, thank you.
Yeah. Brett shows up at a fish concert and he shows up with his rubs and glazes.
He's like, let me at them.
What? You know, he's rubbing Trey Anastasio. He's pouring. Before you go out for the next set, let me glaze you up.
I thought this was a fish market.
Yeah, fish market.
Do you like the band Fish, Brad?
I did have a jam band phase in high school. I really liked I liked Fish. I liked Widespread Panic.
Sure, String Cheese Incident.
String Cheese Incident. Your, right? Yeah.
Sure. Moe. Yeah, yeah. Did you like Moe?
Liked Moe, sure. Yeah.
I had a String Cheese Incident one.
Yeah.
Still recovering from it. Two. The second to last clip I got for you, and this is from listener Corey, and this is one of those clips where it is, you know, at first I was like, I don't know about this, because it's one of those, like, you know, it's like a common thing that was on social media for a long time, and like everybody was doing it. In this case, the Cinnamon Challenge. You guys remember the Cinnamon Challenge?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So at first it's like, oh, okay, the Cinnamon Challenge. But this is one of those things where it's like the perfect version of a bit, right? It's like the best version of it. At least I think. I think this one is really funny. So this is this guy. His name is Mike Perry, and he is a sports announcer in England, but he's famous for being like an asshole. Like, he's, you know, he's always like, you know, putting his foot in his mouth, and he's super cocky, and he always like thinks he's right. Okay. So this would be like a
Skip Bayless.
A Skip Bayless. Thank you, Tom. Yeah, this is like England's Skip Bayless. This is he decided to do the Cinnamon Challenge. And he was very confident that it was going to go well for him. So let's...
Blimey.
No, I just want to say this. I have seen this. Mm. I cannot wait to see it again.
Really?
Yes.
I just see that he's being a bell end, which I love.
He's so arrogant. Get ready for the arrogance in this.
Okay, I'm
Julie,
ready.
All I'm going to say is, if you like justice, get ready.
Now, somebody's tried to tell me that putting a full spoonful, and this is not a full spoonful, it's a tablespoonful of cinnamon in your mouth at once is impossible. And I've seen all these younger people than me who's shoving this stuff in their mouth and then they're all over the place because they can't take it. Well, believe me, I've faced worse than tablespoonfuls of cinnamon during my life. People have thrown things at me all my life, and all my life I've headbutted them away or taken the challenge. I'm going to take the challenge now. I'm going to count you down. 3, 2, 1. Water.
It's like the penguin from Batman Returns with that stuff coming out of his mouth.
Oh.
Now he's just pouring the water on his head.
You don't think he did this on purpose?
And he's holding his glasses. He's holding his glasses in one hand, which is amazing.
Oh, it's on the back of my throat. It's like it's. It's like drinking cement, which then mixes with the saliva in your mouth. It hardens up, forming a barrier across my throat. I'm having great difficulty in breathing.
I just want to say, if you watch this, the funniest moment is he's so arrogant with it. He puts the thing in his mouth. 2 seconds later, this orange cloud comes out of his mouth with the first cough. It's, can we just watch the cloud come out of his mouth?
Water.
I also want to point out that he's got a white beard, so when he like starts drinking the water and spitting it out, his whole like the area around his mouth looks like when a white dog has tear stains.
Yes. Yeah. No, he went from saying the kids today, I've dealt with so much worse than a little bit of cinnamon.
Water! Like the retching noises he makes.
Water!
The physicals. I'm telling you, this is Mr. Beanworthy, baby.
Yeah, this guy, it's the greatest.
And I'm going to go ahead and put links to all these clips in the show notes so you guys can check them out there. Because, yes, a lot of these, you gotta watch them to get the full experience. So, click on those links.
Impossible.
Watch along.
Impossible.
So am I invited to the show? Impossible.
You might not like it. You see, the holy grail, as it were, is to find an affordable apartment. So my friend Abby.
What's Abby's last name?
I'd rather not say.
Do you still talk to Abby?
Not for a while. Anyway, the holy grail.
Give her a shout out. Give her a shout out.
Hi, Abby. You know where to find
me. What's her last name?
I'd rather not say. So my wife is.
Why?
One.
We've arrived at the final clip. The final clip of our big clip countdown. And this one, this is from listener August. And this, we've watched some home tours before on Double Threat. We watched a Papa John's home tour, and he kind of went for like a big cinematic thing with the aerial shots and the music and everything. And it was on TikTok. There's a bunch of other home tours out there. This is by far the worst home tour I've ever seen in my life, that August sent us. This is, Scott Adams, the creator of Dilbert.
Oh, no.
Doing a home tour.
God.
Who, for people who may not have been paying attention,
he sucks.
What the creator of Dilbert has been doing. He's been this right-wing crybaby on social media. And
he's got this, like, creepily, like, young lady friend, I think.
And Dilbert sucks. Dilbert always sucks. Can you imagine anybody thought that was funny?
Dogbert sucks.
Yeah.
He sucks. He sucks. He sucks. He sucks. He's the worst.
Scott Adams is truly the worst. And
but what do you really think about him?
Tell me how you really feel.
But apparently his fans online were just begging for a home tour, and so sure. Scott Adams complied. And here is Scott Adams.
The dude abides. Scott Adams complies.
So here's a little tour of my house. There's the kitchen. I'll give you more detail in a minute. There's my loyal dog, Snickers, waiting to help. Here's the living room. There's the home theater that's coming right into the middle of your picture. I'll take you in there in a minute. And
this is like the boring house of ASMR.
That's where we are. We're in the center of the house.
Like hypnotizing a 16-year-old girlfriend.
Flip around the camera.
Be interested in what he has to say.
And take you through.
Everything's brown.
We've got three microwaves for popcorn.
This is the most brown house I've ever seen.
Yeah, I've seen gingerbread houses that aren't as brown.
This house, it looks like the kind of house that they do like porn shoots at or something. Like an abandoned McMansion.
Uh-huh.
Like it's just furnished to sell, but nobody actually lives in it. Looks like this.
It's the most disgusting house I've ever seen. I want to replay something here because he says, that he has three microwaves for popcorn. So let's
what?
Hear that. Let's hear
They're
that
all
again.
For popcorn.
I've got three microwaves for popcorn. There's one. And then there are two here. One's actually a convection oven that does double duty. We've got various pull-out drawers for garbage. Those come in really handy.
Did Scott Adams just show me his fucking garbage can?
I mean,
you need one of those.
This is the most basic bitch house, and he's acting like, well, you can kind of slide this drawer out here, and there's actually a garbage can in there, and you can that way the garbage can's not out in the open all the time. It's like, yeah, that's every one of these dumb houses has that. Look, he's got Wonder Bread. He's literally got Wonder Bread. Look at that. You froze the screen at the perfect point, Brad.
Every time that dog looks into the camera, I feel like the dog is like, please take me with you or kill me.
Snickers. Snickers is trying to climb inside that confection oven.
He's like, there's three. At one point, the odds are in my favor.
Yeah. Let me in that microwave.
Here's a little tomato plant. My neighbor, who's a realtor, gave the neighbors. Because it wasn't that nice. Nice and good marketing. So there's the long view. Back here is the kitchen.
So boring.
Pantry or the dirty kitchen, as they sometimes call it. So there's a
this is like
bigger
hell.
Refrigerator.
This is like truly like hell to me.
This is what hell's actually going to be like.
Yeah. Like if you got a tour, it's like, welcome to hell. You'll be living here for the remainder of eternity.
That's the entertainment center, but we'll get there in a minute. You're like, oh, that's so ominous.
And just a quick preview too of what's coming up. We're going to get a look at Scott Adams' man cave in a second. And then we're also going to get a look at a part of the house that incorporated Dilbert into the architecture. So just a sort of preview of coming attractions here.
How does he have all this money? You can't have money doing Dilbert. I'm sorry. You just can't. Otherwise, like Jim Davis would have been living high on the hog. I don't feel, where does his money come from? Don't tell me. I don't care. Go ahead.
Deeper for beverages and party platters and stuff. Here's my coffee machine. A couple of,
Here's my coffee machine.
Washer and dryer there for the downstairs.
Here's
stuff.
A paper towel roll.
There's another
put paper towels on this thing. You can
quicker
kind of
picker
spin
upper
it around.
As it's often known.
So here's a little push cart that I designed the house to accommodate, so it fits right under there.
You designed the house?
You
buy that at Target.
You worked backwards from...
That's like a Target little, like, space saver push cart.
You're going to love this. This is a piece that I
designed the house around this. And over here, you'll notice it's a cabinet.
It's a milk crate. It's like alpha shelves, like...
Refrigerator here keeps food cool, and the freezer part keeps them frozen.
Then this is the jewel of the house. I designed it, the whole thing around it. It's this thing I got at the Container Store at 3 p.m.
Here's a little office area just off the garage. You always need a little
office area. The furniture's so ugly.
Yeah.
And I'm going to take you into the garage because that's where my man cave is.
Oh, no.
All right. Here's my... trusty
as if this whole house isn't very just a tribute to his boringness.
Yeah.
And there's this man cave with Fox News on the TV.
And two traffic cones, like the way like a teenager would decorate his dorm.
Or like I'd say
a production designer would think a teenager would decorate his dorm.
He's like so strangely like withholding of actually making something comfortable or nice. Here's my man cave. It's like in a garage, but it's not like this guy had the resources to have like a room be a man cave, but he's kind of like, this corner of my garage is set up to be a man cave. So it's like,
just a couch. Even,
yeah, it's a couch in his garage with a flat screen TV and a fire extinguisher.
I was what is that, say, a little is that generator? To, is, in case the takes on Fox News are too hot, he takes that out.
Notice,
and
yeah, got to spray this down. I got my bicycle over here. You notice?
I have a helmet. The tragedy of this is just someone who just has no taste. It's not bad taste or good taste. It's just nothing.
Zero. Just like, yeah. not applicable is what it would say on like the.
Well, Scott Adams didn't get that memo because he's about to tell you how this room is actually designed intentionally. So let's keep listening.
So everything in here is chosen for its feel. So its color or its feel. So it's intentionally.
Yeah, everything's brown.
College, yeah. Dormitory, garage motif. Here's a little.
Is that a raccoon?
Currently.
It's a kitty.
Zoe the cat.
I'm going to catnap Zoe.
Sometimes Snickers the dog is on here. So here's my whiteboard where I do a lot of planning for my blogs and stuff. I've got a workbench here, storage, and my ping pong table doubles as a work area.
What?
And this is what I call my mail sorting station. I don't allow physical mail into my house because it's just pollution. So I
went
in the garage and I sort it into that bin that's underneath it. All right. So everything in this room, as I said, is selected for its placement.
It's physical mouse pollution, Julie. Didn't you know? Dilbert, didn't you read Dilbert that time Dilbert talked about how physical mail was pollution?
I thought right-wingers didn't believe pollution was a thing.
Dilbert. Most boring cartoon thing ever. And this guy's got a McMansion because of it.
I don't know if that's where. I can't believe that Dilbert, this is the house that Dilbert built. I just can't.
When it gets syndicated like that, the money rolls in.
I don't think it's the same kind of syndication as like TV getting syndicated. I mean, I don't know, but it just seems suspect to me. I don't see like.
You never got a tour of the guy who did Beetle Bailey? You don't want to take the Mary Worth tour? I don't know. Prince Valiant?
Yeah.
Showing us his backyard.
Take you out here.
Even his pool is boring.
He should throw the phone in the pool.
And of course, this boring dude always has like the pool robot cleaning the thing at the. Well, you can't actually go in it. The pool robot's cleaning the pool right now. Can't go in it.
It's my best friend, actually.
Yeah, me and the pool cleaning robot.
Recognize.
Oh God! Oh no, Tom.
Sucks. He's got a little alcove kind of set up on the second floor of the house. He's showing us the outside of the house, and it has eyes like Dilbert. This one room has two oval windows next to each other,
and sort of like the hair. And this to me is the most shocking because everything else about the house looks like you could have just bought it as made. But this indicates that these are choices and this was custom. If I were his neighbors, I would call the cops and say, this is an eyesore. Tear it down.
Literally.
Although maybe not the cops. I don't know who I'd call.
Call the FBI.
Yeah, call the FBI.
There's a hot tub over there and there's an outdoor TV that's broken at the moment. But
cool story, bro.
Yeah.
All right, there's a barbecue area under here, and there's an outdoor
that I don't use.
Bathroom, I use human
so you don't
flesh.
Have to dry off that much.
As I cut off a girl's
part of the genius of
this
design is that the outdoor surface continues on into the bathroom, so it's a true outdoor.
Oh my god!
So now he's showing us the.
Oh no! I've seen Dilbert's toilet.
That might be the greatest thing you've ever said. Oh no. Oh no, I've seen Dilbert's toilet. And come over here and you notice I got a little bag with some snacks in it. I got a bag of pretzels in here. Got a the long pretzel sticks in here. Can't eat those though. They make my stomach upset.
It's like There needs to be like a less agoraphobic or less claustrophobic version of the room or room mm-hmm. where like this is your captor. You don't it's just it's called the house or yeah. house.
And it's Scott Adams.
And every day he wakes you up and gives you a tour.
So come on over here to see can't find Snickers. Not sure where Snickers is at.
Snickers is literally hitchhiking. He's learned to make an opposable thumb.
Yeah. Snickers. Yeah. Snickers out on the highway holding a little sign in his just mouth.
Anywhere.
Get me out of here. Anywhere but here is what the sign says. Dilbert was my master. Get me out of here. I am not Dogbert. Sign just says, I am not Dogbert.
People driving by, they're like, oh, Dilbert's dog's trying to escape again.
Dog just tries to pretend to be just like a piece of furniture. Just try to blend into the background.
He's brown.
Can't find Snickers around here. I'm not sure. Snickers is just like not moving. Like he tells Zoe the cat, don't move. He's coming. I'm looking here on the dog bed. I don't see... Don't see Zoe or Snickers.
Zoe and Snickers are like with Child Protective Services. They've dressed themselves up like children. Like one has a baseball mm-hmm. cap on and the other has pigtails. They're both holding lollipops and like they have saddle shoes. One has shorts, yeah. One has a poodle skirt. And they're like, our daddy is a human and we're humans too. So you should probably put us in foster care.
We're just looking to get adopted and... find a new home.
As human children, which we are.
Well, Brett, this was a cornucopia of awesomeness.
Big thanks again to our listeners. You send us so much great stuff, so many hidden gems out there. So thank you so much. Keep those coming. Keep the clips coming to doublethreatpod@gmail.com.
Now we're ready for a whole new batch.
Yeah.
Keep them coming.
And subscribe and rate the show over on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
Follow us on social media and buy merch and all that jazz.
Yeah, and speaking of merch, keep an eye out this week because we've got a bunch of new designs that are going to roll out this week.
Oh.
We've been getting a lot of submissions lately. They're really good. I think that this week we're going to have a big blowout bunch of like this episode was you know what, I'm gonna say it now, we did 10 clips. I'm gonna go for 10 new designs this week.
Yes. Well,
look at that. I love it. Ambition. And also if you're artistically minded, now's the time to do that.
Start
picture
brainstorming.
Of Brett in the kitchen.
Maybe it's like a tarot card. Maybe it's like mm-hmm. him as like the sorcerer in a tarot card sort of situation. Yeah. And he's got like whatever that symbol is, but there's like fish and rubs around him.
Yes, you just then it's Brett rubbing a glaze all over a piece of haddock.
That would make me the happiest person in the entire world. I mean, what you're describing is just really,
that's a tattoo. That's a tattoo.
Yeah.
If you, by the way, get a double threat tattoo, you will have a lifetime forever dog plus. I'm gonna put that out there.
Yeah, we'll figure out. I can vouch for that. Yeah.
And that's all you'll get.
Sure. That's it.
We'll figure something else out.
No.
The point is please get tattoos of us.
But I'll say this. If you're close to getting a double threat tattoo,
do it.
Contact us and then we will help you shape the tattoo.
Yes, yes. That's like, a great idea.
We will help you plan out the tattoo.
Absolutely. And we'll maybe get a tattoo artist on at the same time.
Yes. I love it. 2021, good year so far. My bingo card is...
No notes.
My bingo card's coming up pretty much guessing everything that the MyPillow guy would try to overturn the American government. Mm-hmm.
Ariel Pink on Tucker Carlson. You had that on there?
I had Ariel Pink on Tucker mm-hmm. Carlson. I had the MyPillow guy leading an insurrection.
You had Armie Hammer texting an influencer, I want to cut off one of your toes and keep it in my pocket all the time.
Yeah, I'm ready to say bingo.
Then say it!
Thanks, everybody.
See you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.